This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walahu ba'd. As the last time we talked about the departure of the soul from the body. آخر ما تكلمنا عنه هو النزع. From this moment where the person's soul depart from the body. At this point, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Al-mayyit tahdhuruhu al-malaika." The angels will be there upon the moment of your death. فَإِذَا كَانَ الرَّجُلُ صَالِحًا, if a person is a righteous person, the angel will say, أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الطَّيِّبَةُ كَانَتْ فِي الْجَسَدِ الطَّيِّبِ. This blessed good soul, which belonged to a good body, come out, hamida, pleased, come out while you're pleased. وَأَبْشِرِي بِرَوْحٍ وَرَيْحَانٍ. And we have the glad tiding for you, for nothing but good, nothing but coolness. وَرَبٍ غَيْرِ غَضْبَانٍ. And your Lord is not angry at you. فَلَا يَزَالُ يُقَالُ لَهَا ذَلِكَ حَتَّى تَخْرُجُ. And they keep repeating this statement again and again and again until the angel of death will pull the soul completely from the body. So upon that moment, you hear the angels and you see the angels, which is you didn't used to hear or to see before. And when they take it, they will take the soul and will be celebrating it. فَيُقَالُ مَرْحَبًا بِالنَّفْسِ الطَّيِّبَةِ, which this blessed soul. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِذَا كَانَ الرَّجُلُ رَجُلُ سُوءٍ. And if a man is an evil man, or a person is a bad person, the angels who will be surrounding the body will say, أُخْرِجِي أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْخَبِيثَةِ كَانَتْ فِي الْجَسَدِ الْخَبِيثِ. This evil soul, which belonged to a bad, evil body, get out. أُخْرِجِي ذَمِيمَةِ وَأَبْشِرِي بِحَمِيمٍ وَغَسَّاقٍ وَآخَرٌ مِّن شَكْلِهِ أَزْوَاجٍ. Get out of this body. And we have nothing for you other than a hamim, which is the boiling water in hellfire, and a hell, and a food from the hellfire, which is غَسَّاق. And they will keep repeating this until the angel of death will eventually pull the soul out from the body. Then both will be the angels who pull that soul of a righteous person, the righteous soul, and the evil soul. They both will take their soul and go up into the heavens, into the sky. So when the believers, basically, his soul taken up all the way up, it will be said by the angels who are in the sky, scattered in the sky, there is entrance. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, there is an entrance, there is a gate for each layer of the sky lead to the next universe, and so forth. Each one of these gates, the angels at these gates where the angel of death and his assistants will be taking the soul, they will say for the good soul, come to my side, come pass by me. And the angel in the universe and in the sky say, this is a smell so good. This soul looks so pure and beautiful. إِنَّهَا نَفْسٌ طَيِّبَةٌ. Everyone wants the soul to pass by them. وَيُنَادُونَهُ بِأَحْسَنِ أَسْمَائِهِ الَّتِي كَانَ يُنَادَ بِهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. And the angels will call upon you with the names that you loved in this dunya. Whatever good names that you like. Let's say your name is, you know, Ibrahim, and you like to be called Adil. And, you know, or you be called Abu Ahmed, or you called, you know, Sarah, or, you know, or whatever your name, you know, you like to be called, that you love, it will be, you will be called by these names. And the angel will like your soul to come and to pass through them. As for the soul of the evil person, فَيُقَالُ لَا مَرْحَبًا بِالنَّفْسِ الْخَبِيثَةِ. كانت في الجسد الخبيث. Don't come to our sight. You're not welcome to pass through our gates. And they lock the gates. They lock the gates. They don't want the soul to basically pass by their gates. Until the angels will take the soul for the believers, they will go through the gates, and it will be taken all the way up to the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يقول للملائكة, then the angels will be said to them by Allah, take my soul back to my servants, to earth. I promise them that they will live in it, die in it, resurrect from it, and put his name in a book of Illiyin, a book which is belong the names of the righteous people in a very high level in Jannah, in a very high status in Jannah. As for the evildoer, the gate will not be open. He will not go through. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow this soul to basically rise. And it will be left to fall all the way from the sky down all the way to earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angel, let it come back to the body. Let it come back to this earth. I promise that I will let them live. I made them from it. I will let them live in it, and I will resurrect. They will die in it, and I will resurrect them from it. يقول شيخ الإسلام بن تيمية رحمه الله إن الأحاديث, the أحاديث that mention that the soul will be returned to the body after death, متواترة, يعني large number of narrations, huge number of narrations have mentioned that after you die and after the angel of death take your soul out from your body, your soul will be returned to your body in your grave. In your grave, the soul will come back to your body. But when it comes back to your body in your grave, the attachment of the soul to the body in the grave, not like the way it's attached to you right now. Because right now, if your soul leaves you completely, you die. But you're already dead. So the attachment to the body after death is a very different than the way it is right now. That's why we see in the ahadith that your soul, we might be taken to different places, will do different things and activity, and it will be exposed to many different things while your body is still there or not even exist anymore. But it will be attached to that grave. Anyway, then he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, some people said that the soul will never return to the body. Some of Ahlul Kalam, they said that. قال لكن أنكره جمهور العلماء. And the majority of the scholars have rejected that claim. قاله ابن ميسرة وابن حزم. And he said, يعني ابن حزم and a man's name, a scholar's name, ابن ميسرة, they denied that the soul will ever return to that body in the grave. They said when the soul depart, it will be taken to some place and it will stay there until the day of judgment. But this opinion is rejected by the vast majority of the scholars. And why is rejected? Because the ahadith are very explicit. For instance, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, في حديث البراء بن عازب, حديث, the famous hadith, hadith al-Bara, then النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, which is, I was mentioned it earlier, part of, similar to it from hadith Abu Huraira, then the, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, قال, فتعاد روحه إلى جسده. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Allah will tell the angel, take the soul back to the body, and they will return the soul inside the body of the deceased. So that's very explicit from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث, هذا حديث البراء, I think it will be worth it to mention it to you. He said صلى الله عليه وسلم, إن المؤمن إذا كان في إقبال من الآخرة وإدبار من الدنيا. When the believers is about to approach the آخرة and leave the dunya, they will come to him in angels, their faces shining like the sun. مع كل واحد منهم كفن وحنوط. في رواية حرير من الجنة. They will come with a garment from paradise, from the heaven, to take the soul and shroud the soul in that garment which is taken from Jannah or brought from Jannah. And every single angel between the heavens and earth and every angel in the heavens will be welcoming this soul. and the gates of heavens will be wide open. None of the gatekeeper of the skies, unless will wish that this soul will come from their sight. يعرج بها من قبلهم. فإذا عرج بروحه قالوا ربي عبدك فلان يقول أرجعوه فإني عهدت إليهم أني منها خلقتهم وفيها أعيدهم. The angel said, Ya Rab, this is your servant so and so. And Allah will said, like I told you, take them back. I promised them that I created them from earth. I will return them to it and I will resurrect them from it. فَتُعَادُ رُوحُهُ فِي جَسَدِهِ Then his soul will be reattached to his body. And similar to this, when it comes to that person who's not a believer. When you about to die, or when you are dying, when a person is pronounced dead, his soul collected by the angel of death, are you aware of what's happening around you? هل الميت يشعر بما يكون حوله؟ يعني when you die, does the dead person understand what's happening around him? Does he see the people around him? Would you be able to hear what people are saying around you while you're laying in your bed in hospital or at home? When you are in your janazah in the masjid, when people lining up and put you in the front to pray on you, what exactly, what's your soul and you at that time will do? جاء في حديث أبي سعيد الخدري عند البخاري وغيره وهذا لفظه عند النسائي أيضا فإذا وضعت الجنازة فاحتملها الرجال على أعناقهم. When the janazah is brought and people carrying the janazah, carrying the body of the dead person, تقول قدموني قدموني. The soul said, hurry up, carry me fast, go fast to my grave. That's if the person is righteous. If not, if he's not righteous, قالت يا ويلها أين تذهبون بها. Where are you taking me to? Where are you taking me? Don't go anywhere. So that means that hadith shows you clearly that you are aware of what is happening. They are preparing you for a burial. They are taking you to the cemetery. They're driving you to Almeida Cemetery or the other one, the cemetery of ICH. Whatever you are aware of what is happening. You're taken to the morgue, whatever it is be the case. You're very aware. Especially when they prepare you to take you to the grave, will be saying of the person among the good doer, will be basically saying and wishing at that time to be rushed to their grave, and if not, will be saying, where are you taking me? Where are you taking me? يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, وَلَوْ سَمِعَهَا الْإِنسَانُ لَصُعِقْ If the people around you heard you at that time, they will faint. Because a dead person talking. They will basically, as we say, will freak out. قال سفيان الثوري رحمه الله إن الميت لا يعرف كل شيء حتى إنه لا يناشد غاسله بالله إلا خففت علي الغسل ويسمع وهو على سريره ثناء الناس عليه. سفيان الثوري said, when a person is dead, will be aware of what's happening and will be aware of the person who washing his body. To the extent that he might, if the person who washing his body is getting a little bit too excited, too harsh, and he, you know, doing the body, he will wish, he said, come down and just easy on me. Easy on me. And he said, and the person when he's laid down, he will hear what people saying about him or her. ليس هذا فقط, but أيضا يدرك ما حوله حينما يوضع في قبره. This is before you buried. And when you are placed in your grave, you are aware of what's your surrounding. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الميت لا يسمع قرع نعال أصحابه إذا ولوا عنه. When you are in your grave, you will hear when the people leave you behind. The Prophet said he can hear the sound of their shoes when they walk away. In another word today also, you will hear what? The engine turning on of the cars and people leaving. You hear people khalas saying salam alaikum and give condolences to your family and they're leaving you. You will be aware of what is happening around you. جاء في صحيح مسلم من حديث عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنه لما توفي قال لأصحابه. Amr ibn al-As, when he died, as Imam Muslim reported, he said to his companions and the people attending his funeral, إِذَا دَفَنْتُمُونِي فَشُنُّوا عَلَيَّ التُّرَابَ شَنَّا ثُمَّ أَقِيمُوا حَوْلَ قَبْرِي قَدْرَ نَحْرِ جَزُورِ وَقَسْمِ لَحْمِهَا. He said, when you bury me, when you throw the sand on my grave, you know, throw it in an abundant way. So basically make the burial fat. And after you bury me, don't rush to leave me. Stay around my grave, stir around my grave, for as much as a period of when you slaughter a camel and cut it basically and distribute the meat. How long it takes to kill a camel and to cut the meat and to skin it? A long time, much longer than a sheep, for example, or a goat. That's right. Yeah, and in other words, stay for a while. Why? قال حتى أستأنس بكم وأنظر ماذا يرجع به رسل ربي. He said, I want your company at that moment. Because the dead feel and understand that there is people around them. And I want your company at that moment until the angels comes back with the news. What he means by that, he meant the hadith I just mentioned earlier. إِنَّمَا يُشِيرُ إِلَى الْحَدِيثِ الَّذِي قُلْتُ لَكَ قَبْلَ قَلِيلٍ. Which is hadith that in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the angel will take the soul and take the person all the way up and bring it back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either we said, write my name, the name of my servant in Illiyin, in a special book of the believer. So at that moment, he will know what Allah decided about him. And also, when he was asked in his grave about his Lord and what the angel will say in return after that. So he will get to know, basically from the angels, where is his destiny is. Also, another hadith shows you that in your grave, your soul aware of what's happening. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث رواه ابن عبد البر في الاستذكار وغيره حديث لا بأس به ما من مسلم يمر على قبر أخيه كان يعرفه في الدنيا فيسلم عليه إلا رد الله عليه روحه حتى يرد عليه السلام. Any person goes to visit a friend or a relative in this case, someone you know in this dunya, and you go to their grave and you give them salam, Allah will bring the soul back to the grave. So this soul will reply the salam. It said, wa alaykum as-salam. So that means you will be aware if this person you know, the soul will recognize it. In another narration, if the person you don't know, someone you don't know, just a random Muslim come to your grave and said, salam alaykum, you will give salam, but you will not recognize the person. So it means in your grave, you recognize the people that you know from before and the people you don't know before. يقول ابن القيم رحمه الله والسلف مجمعون على هذا تواترت الآثار عنهم بأن الميت يعرف زيارة الحي ويستبشر به. Ibn al-Qayyim said in his book, Al-Ruh, the early Muslims agreed based on the narrations that is narrated and reported by a large number, mutawatir, that the deceased will know who is visiting him, the person who's been, who is this person is, and he will be happy with that visitation. And fil Bukhari wa Muslim, al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, when he looked at the dead people of Quraysh, he came to where they are all gathered in a hall. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to them, Ya Fulan ibn Fulan, so and so. And he mentioned them by their name. And he said, did you find what your Lord have prepared for you? Because I have found what Allah had prepared for me. Umar radiallahu anhu said, you talking to them, they are dead. Then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَالَّذِي بَعْثَنِي بِالْحَقِّ, I swear by the one who sent me the truth. They can hear me the same way you hear me right now. And Al-Imam Ibn Abi Dunya rahimahullah in his book Al-Qubur, He mentioned so many narrations, shows that the dead recognize and understand and realize what is happening around their grave and who is coming to them. Aisha radiallahu anha, he mentioned the hadith that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a person visits his brother's grave, his brother, or who's that person who was visited, will be happy, yastabshir, and will be happy with the visitation of the person until you leave. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, when he passed by a man, he knows he will give him salam. Abu Hurairah said that the persons that you know, he will reply to your salam and he will recognize who you are. And if you pass by a grave of someone you don't know and you give them salam, he will be able to reply your salam as well. قال وعن رجل من آل عاصم الجحدري قال رأيت عاصم الجحدري في منامي بعد سنتين. He said, I saw عاصم الجحدري 2 years after his death. And I told him, you're dead. You're dead. You died. He said, yes. He said, what happened to you after you died? He said, wallahi, I am in. Now this person saw in his dream, عاصم الجحدري, after 2 years, he said, 2 years, you've been dead for 2 years. Where are you now? He said, I am in a very beautiful garden in Jannah. Me and some of my friends, close friends, we gather every Friday in the morning and the night of Friday, and Thursday night and Friday morning. We gather and we spend so much time together. Who is that you meet? قال أنا وأبي بكر بن عبد الله المزني. And he said, we will be gathered and we will be told about what you're doing. يعني what our friends doing who didn't die yet. So the dead, the soul of those dead people will be gathered in that night, on that day, and they will be gathering together and they will be informed about their friends in this life who didn't die yet. What happening to them and what they are doing. Then I said to him, أجسادكم أم أرواحكم? يعني this gathering in this place in Jannah, is your body or the souls? قال هيهات بلية الأجسام. No, the body are gone. It's our souls. And he said, do you recognize and you know when we go to visit your grave, خلاص, your body is not there. But if we go to visit the grave and your soul in Jannah, do you still recognize and you still understand that we are visiting you? He said, yes, we do. And we will be told about you and your visitation and what you do every Friday and every Friday night or Friday morning. Yani Thursday night in our language today or Friday morning. Then he was asked, why Friday? What's so special? He said, because it's a special day. It is a special day. Because of this, not hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, this not from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, but one of the narration of the Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah and others said, one of the dreams of righteous people, we don't take rules from it. That's why Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah said, made a good comment. He said, إِنَّ تَخْصِيصَ يَوْمَ الْجُمُعَةِ بِزِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ لَا أَصْلَ لَهُ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. There is no base to say that it's recommended to visit the grave or the cemetery on Friday, as some people do. There is no base for that. Because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, زور القبور, visit the graveyard, visit the dead. And he did not specify a specific day for that. As the person, so now you know your soul depart, you're so aware of what's happening before burial and during the burial and after you buried, your soul aware of what's happening around you, but your soul cannot communicate with people. And it back and forth. Yani as if you're telling the soul and the soul reply to you, but yes, no, that doesn't happen. Khalas, because you cannot, for example, say La ilaha illallah, or their soul will be say this and cannot respond. They can hear you, but they cannot respond to you. That's why Allah said, وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ مَّنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. You cannot make the people of the grave respond to you, not hear you, because Allah made them hear, but they cannot respond. مُسْمِعِ يعني عندهم قدرة على سماع الإجابة. They cannot respond to you. So when the soul leave the body, And now the body is taken to the grave and the soul replaced in the grave. There is something it called Dhammatul Qabr, the squeeze of the grave. The Prophet ﷺ said, verily there is a pressing that occurs in the grave. If anyone could be saved from it, then Sa'd ibn Mu'adh would have been. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, just for you to know, his funeral witnessed by 70,000 angels. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, هذا اهتز لموت عرش الرحمن. شهد موته 70,000 من الملائكة. لما وضعه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في قبره فزع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم put him in his grave, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم reacted as if something horrific happened. And he said, لا إله إلا الله, there is a pressing for the grave. If anyone would have been saved, it would have been Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم responded in the same way and reacted the same way. لما دفن طفلا, he buried a child, and also the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم pulled back and he said the grave just pressed that child. And from this we know that the press of the grave, nobody is saved from it. Mu'min, non-mu'min, anybody will be pressed on their grave. And the ulama debate why the press. لماذا هذه الضمة. They said, قالوا, it is because the earth is like, it's called Mother Earth. الأرض كالأم. It gives you a birth. You came from it. So when you return back to it, it's like when the parents take their child and squeeze them. قالوا هي ضمة الشوق. شوق الأرض إلى ولدها. كشوق الأم إلى ولدها. They said it is basically, it's like when the parents squeeze their children. And it was said, no, it is basically a way of purification or a way of, you know, elevating the status of the person. And Allah A'lam, because it's hard to say it's a form of punishment for the sins, as some scholars said, because it was reported that this done to children, and children have no sins. But it seems to be something in the nature of that grave, in the nature of burial. For the mu'min, it is very quick. And after that, a relief. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the grave will be widened. But for the disbeliever and the wrongdoer, the grave keep getting tighter and tighter into the body of that person. When the person is replaced in his grave, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam continued to tell us, as reported in Abi Dawood and in Nasa'i and others, min hadith al-Bara ibn Azib, the person will hear his friends leaving, and this will be a very hard moment. Can you just imagine yourself in the grave? It's complete silence. Darkness. Alone. And in that moment, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَأْتِيهِ آتِمٍ. All of a sudden come to you two angels. There are some narrations, one angel, but it's weak. The authentic narration is two angels, Malakan. What's their name? Munkar wa Nakir. Or also pronounced Munkir wa Nakir. Both ways, Munkar wa Munkir, correct. And both have a different meaning. Munkar, يعني منكر الصورة. It is his face and his appearance is something that it is scary. Munkir is someone who will scare you. يعني هذا اسم فاعل هذا اسم مفعول. Close in the meaning. Nakir. And these two angels will come to the person. Aswadani azraqan. They are black and blue. And Nawawi rahimahullah said possible that their skin is black and their eyes are blue. And blue eyes in the dark, and they are dark, that's just scary. That's why it is one of the biggest fitna of the believers, that they come to the person. And they will come and they will sit the person, فَيُجْلِسَانِ. And they will say to him, to the believer, مَنْ رَبُّكَ. Who's your Lord? من نبيك, who is your prophet, and who is your, what is your religion? فيقول ربي الله ودين الإسلام ونبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah is my Lord, Islam is my religion, and Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is my messenger. فينتهر. He will repeat the question and he will ask in a very strong way, firm way. The Prophet said, and this is the last fitna. وهذه آخر فتنة للمؤمن. And this is the last test for the believer. He will ask him in a very firm way, like, you know, like an angry way. Then the mu'min will say it again with firmness. Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Islam is my religion. Just to make sure that you are firm. And that the firmness of your answer will be based on how much you believed in that. How much you really believe. In this moment, that what's in the heart really comes. Then the believer will be able to answer. And that's when the Prophet ﷺ said, he recited the verse in the Quran, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah will give a strength to the believer to steadfast in this dunya and in the next. In this dunya, in the grave. And next, in the Day of Judgment, when Allah asks you. So the believer will say that, and the angel will say, صدقت. You said the truth. As for the fajr, and in narration, the hypocrites, and in narration, al-fajr, al-kafir, the disbeliever, what will it say? Who's your Lord? He said, hey, la adri. Huh? I don't know. سَمِعْتُ النَّاسَ يَقُولُونَ Allah. سمعت الناس يقولون محمد سمعت الناس يقولون الإسلام سمعت الناس يقولون شيئا فقلته. Hey, I don't know. I heard people saying Allah, Islam, Muhammad, and I'm saying it. See, he will say it, but he really doesn't believe in it. And it will be said, لا دريت ولا تلوت. No matter. It doesn't matter. You know or you don't. Or you really truly know or not. Then, for when he says that, the believer, after these three questions and answering them, all of a sudden appear to you, خلاص, these two angels goes away. Then, another thing appeared to you in the grave, which is, oh, before that, these two, after that, it will be he will be told, or a person will appear to you, looking so nice, dressed very well, smells so good, a person that you would love to be in the company of that person, looks so nice. They said, you will sit in your grave. You now you're missing. Everybody left, and you're alone. You need a companion. You're like you don't want human being not used to be alone. So that's why when people said you will be alone in your grave, not really. Technically, you will not. So he would say, من أنت وجهك الوجه يجيء بالحسن. Your face bring nothing but goodness. Who are you? فيقول أنا عملك الصالح. I'm your good deeds. And listen carefully to the next description. Because you need to ask yourself, are you among those who will be said to them this or not? كنت والله سريعا في طاعة الله بطيئا في معصيته. I swear by Allah that you used to be among those who when good deeds comes you rush and when sin comes you hesitant. You always try to avoid it. Ask yourself, when I tell you it's salah time, do you rush to it? There is an opportunity to donate, you rush to it. There is an opportunity to learn something, do you rush to it? Or you drag your feet and you take your time. He will say to him, I know that you are the person who will always rush to good. and will always try to abstain and hesitant, and you know, you will not rush to bad deeds or doing something bad. Then it will be فَجَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. May Allah reward you. As for the others, then after that the Prophet ﷺ said, an opening will be like a portal that he see through it his place in Jannah. And he said, that's your place. And he will see a place in hellfire. It will be said to him, that would have been your place if you were not a believer, if you disobeyed Allah. Then he would say, Ya Rab, ajjil sa'a. Oh, let the day of judgment start so I can go to this place. Then it will be told him, no, don't worry, just sleep. Like the way the newlywed sleep. Kama yanum nawmat al-arus. Yani the first night of their wedding. Resting and, you know, and taking their comfort. As for the disbeliever, the Prophet ﷺ said, a man will come to him with a very ugly looking face. His clothes is terrifying and smells so bad. And it would be said, who are you? You look so ugly and smell so bad and terrifying. Your face only bring nothing but good luck and bad. فيقول أبشر بهوان من الله وعذاب مقيم. I'm bringing you the glad tidings of humiliation and a continuous punishment. And he said, and who are you? Then he said, I'm your bad deeds. أنا عملك الخبيث. Then he would say the same thing. I witness before Allah that you always rush to haram and you always drag your feet when it comes to good deeds. Then it will be brought to him, أعمن أصم. أو أصم أبكم. أعمن أصم أبكم. It will become to him a figure, like a person, which is an angel. He can see, blind, deaf, will not talk. So yani, no matter what you do, will not respond to you. Have one mission, which is he's carrying a hammer. مرزبه. لو ضرب بها جبل لكان ترابا. If he will hit a mountain with it, will turn the mountain to dust. It's even more powerful than, you know, whatever these imaginaries, you know, with this hammer and like powerful. I'm sure you guys, some of you familiar with Thor and whatever these names, you know, his hammer like smash things. You can imagine that. And that hammer, he will be hit with it. Then he will turn to dust. Then he will be brought again. فيرجع مرة أخرى. Then he will be hit the second time, but second time will not turn to dust. قال فيصرخ صرخة. The second one will cause him to scream. فيسمعه كل أحد إلا الثقلين. Everything will hear his voice except human and jinn. It's so loud, as you know, in voice, when certain voice wave, when it is so high, the pitch is so high, you cannot hear it. And when it's too low, you cannot hear it. And everything, animal will hear it, but human and jinn will not hear it. And it will be open for him, a portal to hellfire. Comes to him from the hell, the smoke of it and the heat. And it will be told to him, look at the other portal. This is your place in Jannah if you would have been righteous. But that's your place in hellfire waiting for you. Al-ulama rahimahullah, the Muslim theologian, asked a question. He said, so this question will be directed to the soul and the body. And the majority said yes. But what if the body is not there? Let somebody's bodies burn before they are buried. The question will go to the souls. طيب, also, everyone will be asked these questions. Will this be directed to prophets, for example, and messengers? Some scholars said yes, and some scholars said no. messengers will not be asked this question, because one of the questions is, who is the messenger was sent to you? And these messengers, they did not receive a messenger. They are the messenger. Yani, the angel said to Muhammad, who is your messenger? So they said, there's no point. And among them, Shaykh al-Hashim al-Athimi, rahimahullah, said they will not be asked. Also, they use another argument. They said, because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, a shaheed, the martyr, the one who dies shaheed, will not be asked these questions, will not be questioned in their grave. They pass without any question. So we know for sure Prophet and Messenger higher level than the Shuhada. So if the Shaheed is exempt, also al-Ulama said, so that means the Prophet's also exempt from that. Also another question, the Ulama said, is that applied to every nation or only to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It looks like all nation, Christian, before Islam, and the time Musa alayhi salam. So every nation died, that's these questions are asked. But what's very interesting also, the Ulama said, who else will be exempt? We looked at the evidence and we found the following. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ribatu yawmin fi sabilillah, the person who spend the night guarding the community and the border of the Muslims, if this person died while doing that, yajri alayhi amaluhu yanmi lahu ila yawm al-qiyamah, his ajr will continue until the day of judgment. Qal wa yu'ammanu min al-fattan, Sahih Muslim, he said, and he will be protected in his grave, on her grave, from the fattan, in his grave from the angel who asked the questions. You will be protected from them. This could mean protected from them, yani protected from giving the wrong answer, or the majority said, you will not be asked by them. So the person, the first category here we have, the Prophet and Messenger, according to many scholars. The second here, the one who spend the night serving, or a day or a night, protecting the border of the Muslims against their enemy or the community. Also, the third one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ash-shaheed, will not be asked in their grave. Will not be asked in their grave. They say, Rasulullah, why? He said, it's enough fitna bariqatu siyuf. It's enough fitna that he was giving the ultimate sacrifice. He was facing death. That's enough fitna, enough test. Also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fi hadith reported by Tirmidhi, he said, ma min muslimin yamutu yawm al-jumu'ati aw laylat al-jumu'ah illa waqahu Allahu fitnat al-qabr. There is no Muslim die in Friday night, yani Thursday night, in our modern language today, or Friday morning, all the way until Maghrib, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect that person from the test of the in the grave, from these questions and tests in the grave. Another issue, ulama rahimahullah asked a question. They said, so these what we have in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama rahimahullah said, would children be asked? Uncounting being, somebody who's insane, the strong opinion, they will not be asked. Why? Because they're children. There's no sins. There's no such thing as religion or who's your Lord, who's your prophet. They don't know anything like that. A child, 1 month old, 2 months old, 1 year old, 5 years old, 6 years old. It's not mukallaf. Islam is not obligatory upon them yet in the rules. And that's the strongest opinion among the ulama rahimahullah. But question, some ulama said, if a kid who 3 months old die, do we pray janazah on them? What do you guys think? Do we pray janazah on children? Somebody insane died, do we pray janazah on this person? Okay, so they said, if you pray janazah, what do you say in the janazah? Oh, Allah protect him from the grave and this and that. So they said, if this is the case, that means they will be asked and tested. That's why you make janazah and dua for them. But this argument is not strong. Why? Because we pray janazah on them not because they're going to be tested and asked. That's not the case. We pray janazah on them, children and those uncountable beings, like people who are insane, not because they will be questioned. مش من أجل أنهم يفتنون. No, because the grave experience is hard. Being alone in the grave is hard. The press is hard. That being isolated from the family is hard. Seeing angels and seeing all this new world is hard. That's why you pray for them, that Allah make it easy for them. That's why if a child die and you pray janazah, you don't say, أغفر له ذنبه, oh, Allah forgive his sin. That makes no sense. You don't say that for the person who is a child. You don't say, oh, Allah forgive their sins, because there is no sins for them. It's a useless dua, and you're not allowed to ask something which is useless or something which is not correct. Anyway, al-ulama rahimahullah said, when people are placed in their grave, we know that in their grave, people will be facing something, reward and punishment, in the grave before they reach the Day of Judgment. So your soul and your body will be exposed to certain reward and certain punishment in that period of al-barzakh. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say in each salah. And he told us to say that. Some ulama said it's wajib, it must upon you to say this in your salah. Tawus, the student of Ibn Abbas, used to make 2 sujood as-sahw if he forget to say this dua. Kan yasjud sujood as-sahw in nasi hadha dua. What's it? Before you say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, you say Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab an-nar, min adhab al-qabr, wa min adhab jahannam, wa min fitnat al-hayat wal mamat, wa min sharri fitnat al-masih ad-dajjal. Oh Allah, protect me from, seek refuge in you from the punishment of the grave, from the torment of the fire, and from the trial of life and death, and from the evil affliction of the false Messiah. That you should say this dua. Part of it, the Prophet asked Allah to protect him from the punishment of the grave, and he asked us to do that. So the punishment of the grave is something well established in the Quran and the Sunnah. For instance, Allah says in the Quran about the people of Fir'aun, the people of Pharaoh. النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشيا ويوم يقوم الساعة ويوم تقوم الساعة أدخلوا آل فرعون أشد العذاب. Allah said that the people of Pharaoh and his people will be exposed to the hellfire days and nights, during the daytime and the nighttime. And when the Day of Judgment comes, they will experience the most severe punishment. So that means that exposure to fire day and night is before the Day of Judgment, before entering the hellfire. Because he said later on, they will experience the most severe, which is when they enter the hellfire in the Day of Judgment. And the Quran filled, there are so many verses in the Quran mentioned that punishment in that grave, and this is one of the most clear evidence. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونَ. When you see the angel stretching their hands to collect the soul of the wrongdoers, the angel will say, today, not next day, today, the day of their death, you will be punished. And where are they going to be punished? In their grave. And the ayah in Surah 6, verse 93. Anyway, يقول علي رضي الله عنه وأرضاه قال كنا في شك من عذاب القبر حتى نزل قول الله تعالى كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون. علي رضي الله عنه, we used to debate, is there is a punishment in the grave, there is no punishment in the grave, what happened in the grave, until Allah revealed سورة الهاكم التكاثر. In it you will know, and you will get to know 100%. And you will know about the answer for the punishment of the grave when you are in your grave. You will see and you will experience that. Ali radiallahu anhu said, at that moment, we all realize among the Sahaba that there is a punishment in the grave. There is so many evidence, and as Imam Ibn Abil Izz rahimahullah said, the punishment in the grave is for both the body and the soul, according to the agreement of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. The soul feels pain and pleasure in conjunction with and while separated from the body. That's what he said, rahimahullah ta'ala. By the way, believing that there is a punishment in the grave is something so common, not only among Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, but even other people of creed, like for example the Ash'ari creed, even the Mu'tazila, someone like Al-Qadi Abdul Jabbar, mentioned that only Ad-Dahriyin, the atheists, who don't believe in the punishment of the grave. Who don't believe in the punishment of the grave. And he said, long time ago, the philosophers, some Greek philosophers and some of the atheists who don't believe in God or don't believe in religion or don't believe in prophets and messenger, they said, How can we believe in the punishment of the grave and we pass by the grave and we don't hear anything, we don't see anything? As if hearing and seeing is the proof that this exists. As if you hear and you see, or you hear basically, or you see everything in the world that exists. Not seeing it, you not seeing it, you not hearing it, it does not mean that it does not exist, as you know. Some of the examples of what's happened in the grave to you, or to the person, okay? As I said, this is, every nation have their own punishment and have their own reward in the grave. But some of the things that is mentioned in the hadith, that widening the grave, light in the grave, deep comfort sleep, soul of the believer in green birds in Jannah, cool and greenness, pray in your grave, giving a special dress covering, قال الله تعالى فري أنفسهم يمهدون, giving a bed from the Jannah. Glad tidings of things that happen to your family after you die and happening to you as you coming into the next stage of your life. Okay, portal to Jannah, that you will have access to see where you place in Jannah. In the other side, in the other hand, those who disbelievers, those who wrongdoers, that they will be experienced darkness, tightening, beating with a hammer, you know, bed made of fire, and they will have a portal to see a place, their place in hellfire. There is a different type of punishment. I will come to give you some of your soul experience at that time. Then, follow. An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say to the Sahaba, any one of you have seen dreams tonight, last night? So after Fajr. So one time the Prophet told them and shared with them a dream that he saw. And we know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dream are true. All the Prophet's dreams are true. It's a form of revelation. So this is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have showed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about what happened to people in their graves. He said, two came to me and took me. And they said, come with us, move with us, intaliq, intaliq. And we passed by a man who laying down and someone on the by his head holding a big rock. And he will smash this person who laying down's head with the rock. And the rock will fall not far from the body. And by the time the person goes to collect that rock and carry it again, the head will come back to normal. Then he will smash it again and will go bring it and come back. Same thing and keep repeating that. And he said, what is this? Who are these? Subhanallah. It's a horrific scene. They said, just move. Then the person, we move. Then I saw a person sitting and someone from his behind with a hook. And he would put the hook in his side of his mouth. And he would pull his mouth all the way to the back of his head. In his nose, all the way to the back of his head. Then he will go to the other half of the face and he will do the same. And by the time he finished one half, you know, and go to the other half and start doing the other half will come back to normal. Then he goes back and keep going, doing the same thing. Then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is this? Subhanallah. He's also terrified about what he sees. They said, move. Then he said, we pass by a big, like a tanur. A tanur is like an oven. Big, huge oven, like a round one. And underneath of it, fire. And I heard voices. Then I looked, and there is men and women inside that place naked, and they're screaming, burning. I said, what is this? Then they will say to me, just move. Follow us. Then we pass by a river. It looked like blood, red. And a man swimming in that river, barely swim, and there is someone by the shore of the river, has all these type of rocks. So the person swim all the way to the person who by the bank of the river. And when he come closer, he opened his mouth and he threw a rock into him. يُلْقِمُهُ حَجَرًا. Then he goes swimmers and they come back and he threw a rock in his face, in his mouth and comes back. They said, what is this? They said, just hold on, keep going. Then I passed by a man, his look is terrifying. The worst scene I ever seen in my life, the worst man you can ever see. And next to him, a huge fire that he keep feeding the fire with fuel and raw, basically rocks and woods, and to make it goes bigger. And he keep going around it, checking it from all sides. And I said, who's this person? They said, just wait, keep moving. Then we came to Rawda, to a garden. Dark a little bit. Dark because it's like cloudy. And he said, in it, all kind of colors. So colorful. And in the middle, I saw this man. He's so tall that I couldn't even see his head. It was so tall. And around him, so many children. And I said, what is this? They said, just keep going. And we moved. He said, then I came to another garden, even much better than the first one. I never seen anything like that. They said, let's climb. So we start climbing up in this garden. And we've been to a place like a small town that made with nothing but gold, built with gold and silver. Then the gate was opened to me and we entered. Then we saw a person, you know, we saw in it people. And we saw in these people, some were looks very strange. He said, some of them, mashallah, half of their body have the most beautiful feature, face and body. And the other half is the most ugly looking person you can ever think of in your life. شطره كأقبح ما يكون والثاني كأحسن ما يكون. Half and half. Then a man will tell those people who look so strange like that, go to that river, jump in it. They will go to the river, jump in it. Then they came back, all the bad side changed to be good and they be perfect looking. I said, what is this? They told me, this is Jannat Adn. This is Jannah. That enter, this is Jannah. And those people who half and half are the Muslim who mix good deeds with bad deeds. خَلَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا. They will be purified and they will be forgiven and they will enter Jannah. The Nabi ﷺ was very happy to hear that they will be forgiven. That's why they jump into that river. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive that sins and shortcoming of them. Then, and they said, and this is your place. And I looked, and my place was very, very high up, very special place. And I said, can I enter it? They said, no, not now. In the day of judgment, you will enter it. But now you cannot. Then they said to me, we will tell you about what you have seen. The man who was laying down and his head was smashed. Who's that person? That what happened to the soul during the period of Barzakh. Who's the person? قال الرجل يأخذ القرآن فيرفضه وينام عن الصلاة المكتوبة. The person, Allah give him access to the Quran and that person rejected. لا إله إلا الله. Your parents tell you, hey, go learn Quran. And he said, I don't want. Allah give you the language, the tongue to able to speak Arabic, but you don't read. Allah give you the opportunity to do and you reject it. Or the one who memorized the Quran and forget it. Another riwayah, another narration. قَالَ يَحْفَظُ الْقُرْآنَ ثُمَّ يَنْسَاهُ. He abandoned the Quran because he doesn't care. خلاص, I finished school. I'm not in Islamic school anymore. I graduated from Man Academy, now I'm in college. I don't need it. I'm public school. I don't need to review my Quran. Another, he said, I'm the person who sleep and miss the Salah. Salat al-Fajr, Maghrib, Asr, Dhuhr, weekend Salah. You sleep and you don't wake up for Salah. That's the punishment of such a person. As for the person who their face pulled all the way to the back of their head, قال هذا الرجل يكذب الكذب فتبلغ الأفاق. Oh, my goodness. This is the one who spread lies, fabricate things, and it became so popular, trends in the social media. Goes all over the world. You heard recently, in the Guardian, have interviewed the three soldiers, the Israeli soldiers. And I think two of them Israeli soldiers and a third one who made the story that the Palestinians raped women in the 7th of October. And three of them, the source of this whole story, come back to these three. All three said, we made this up. 100% we fabricated this. After what? After it became all over the world and all over the news and everybody using it. Today, people spread lies and became, you know, everybody repeating it. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, as for the people who are naked in that fire, are the fornicators among my ummah, men and women. And as the person who's swimming in the river, which is made of blood or the Red River, this is the person who consume interest or usury. Those who put bank and take interest. As for the person who looks so terrifying, and he basically putting fuel into the fire, this is Malik, the angel of the hellfire. The chief angel, or the chief guardian of the hellfire. As for the person who's so tall, and around him children, this is Ibrahim. And the children around him are the children who died in their childhood. They didn't reach the age of puberty. The Muslims. Then a man said, and the Muslims? قال والكفار. يعني the children of the kuffar as well. The Prophet said, and the children of the kuffar. So the children of the Muslim and the non-Muslim, all children will be with Ibrahim alayhi salam until the day of judgment comes. As for the people who are half and half, they are the one who makes good deeds and bad deeds. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, most of the punishment in the grave because of urine. قال أكثر عذاب القبر من البول. People don't clean themselves properly, or when they urinate, they made the urine touch their clothes, their body, and they never cleaned themselves. They never cared for that. And the other reason for most of the punishment in the grave is this tongue, backbiting. When you are buried, do you think you get impacted by who's buried next to you? Is your soul impacted by your neighbors? يعني هل يتأثر الميت بالذي يموت بالذي يدفن بجواره? So for example, you're buried next to a righteous person or a bad person, would that impact, would affect you? There is no any proof that this any connection between you and the one who next to you. It impacts you positive or negative. There is no any proof in the Quran and Sunnah about that. And if somebody claimed that there is an impact, you need a proof, because this is something from al-ghayb, from the unseen, need a proof. There is a hadith, idfunu mawtakum wasata qawmin salihin. Bury your dead among the righteous, because the dead will be harmed by their neighbors the same way you are harmed by your bad neighbors in this dunya. But this hadith is fabricated. Hadith mawdu'a, kadhib. كما قال ابن حبان وغيره. Some of the Salaf asked to be buried next to righteous people. Yes. Ibn Mas'ud said, bury me next to Uthman. Umar said, bury me next to Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr wished to bury next to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for example, Ghalib ibn Jibreel, he said, bury me next to Al-Bukhari. And he was buried next to Al-Bukhari. Abu Bakr al-Khatib al-Hafiz al-Mashur, he said, bury me next to Bishr al-Hafi, or Bishr ibn al-Harith, famous righteous person. So there is many things like that been reported. So if someone would like to be buried in a special cemetery with a lot of people, righteous people die there, that's fine. La yunka, but not to say it is from the Sunnah or there is any proof for it. But what I wanted to tell you, something important. It doesn't matter where you buried. If you buried next to the most righteous person and your deeds are not righteous, it will not benefit you. And if you buried next to the most evil person and your deeds are righteous, it will benefit you, your deeds, and you will not be harmed by his deeds.
الله لا يضرك لو كان هو أخبث أهل الأرض وعملك صالح لا يضرك، وإذا كنت فاسد وهو من أصلح أهل الأرض لا ينفعك.
What is important to deny or to reject the claim that someone believes I bury next to a righteous person so the barakah of the body of this person will reach to me and protect me or will benefit me or he will intercede for me. All this are not من البدع. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم told us a hadith that I think it's also important to keep in mind. Beautiful hadith. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الميت إذا وضع في قبري. When a person replaced in his grave, he hears the people who buried him leaving. إن كان مؤمنا. Listen to what happened to your soul. Now it's in the grave. كانت الصلاة عند رأسه فإذا أتاه العذاب قال لا يؤتى من قبلي. His prayer will be at his head, protect him. If there is an angel come to question him or punish him, the salah said, no, don't touch him. I'll protect him. He used to pray. And the siyam in his right hand side. You're fasting. Your Ramadan days. Was zakat in your left hand side. And the other deeds like volunteer sadaqah, advising people, being good to people, ihsan ila nas was sadaqah, volunteer prayer, takunu inda rijlay, for where your feet is, to protect you. So basically you are protected from the top, the bottom, the two sides. And in other words, your good deeds in this dunya will protect you in your grave from the punishment of the grave. As for the wrongdoers, when he's approached by the angels, nothing to protect him because he doesn't have any of these things. The punishment of the grave, two types. One which will continue until the day of judgment. And this for the disbelievers. For the believers, some of them continue for a while, some of them continue until the day of judgment, but maybe breaks in the middle. If you look at all the ahadith come to that conclusion. Because of the time, we don't have time to go over it. طيب, somebody asked a question. Is it fair if somebody died 2024, okay, and somebody died 1000 Hijri, and the day of judgment, let's say 4000 Hijri, this person's punishment in the grave for the same sin or the reward is much bigger than the other one who died later? The answer is easy. The length, it not having the same amount of time doesn't mean injustice. Why? Because الطول لا يعني المساواة. يعني staying in the grave for the same amount of years, it doesn't mean that you are equal. يعني some people might in 1 year experience what other people experience in 10 years. You following me? Does that make sense? So it doesn't mean, even not because he's 2 years, that means he's less punishment. Maybe it's more severe that is equal to 10 years or 20 years or 50 years. So that's not true. Don't worry about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is adil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. Al-ulama rahimahullah said, when you type, I put in my grave, your soul, there is so many narrations from the scholars where your soul go until the day of judgment. Where it goes. Some said the soul of the believers will be roaming freely in earth. Some said the soul of the believers will be in Jannah. Some said the soul of the believers will be 3 days around the grave and after that it will be go to Jannah. Some said it will be gathered in a special place where it used to be before the creation of the body, like Ibn Hazm mentioned that. طيب. But Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said he looked at all these evidence and he said, you come to a conclusion that believers are not one level. And based on this, their souls in different places. So, al-anbiya wal-rusul wa khiratul khalq, the best of creation like prophets and messengers, their souls in the presence of Allah.
That's why in Isra al Mi'raj, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw the souls of the prophets and the messengers, Ibrahim alayhi salam, in the top heavens. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, upon his death, said, "Bal ila al-Rafiq al-A'la," I will be in the company of the Most High. Ash-Shuhada, their souls in a different place. Ash-Shahid, the one who dies Shaheed, his soul will be cast in a green bird, like taking the shape of a green bird. Freely in Jannah, travel and eats. The believers, the Prophet قال المؤمن هي نسمته كالطير تعلق في أشجار الجنة. Your soul will be like a shape of a bird, will be sitting and resting in the paradise, in the trees of paradise. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said there is some souls will be locked at the gate of Jannah, will not be entering, will not be allowed to enter. تحبس على باب الجنة. Why? Because of certain sin that they committed. Some people, their soul will be in earth, even believer, punished. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said for the person who die while he's in debt, his soul was locked, was in the grave, did not leave the grave. So here we understand from this that people have a different level. As for the disbelievers, Wallahu A'lam, their souls, Imam Ahmad has one narration that they are gathered in hellfire, and some said no, they gathered somewhere in earth. Question, can anyone see what's happening in the graves? Can Allah show some people what's happened in the graves? Generally, no. Nobody can see everything happened to the grave. About 15, 20 years ago, no, more than that, maybe 30 years ago, there were a news that came out. A Russian scientist, they said, we have discovered hellfire. Why? These geologists, they put microphones through the layers of earth, and they were able to record voices of human beings who are screaming. He said, that's not the sound, the voice waves belong to human beings, and they are screaming. And it was big news. You can Google it, search it, you listen to it. I listened to that recording myself. It's kind of interesting. So here the scholars said, they asked the scientist at that time, they told him, so do you believe in God? Because he's atheist. We're doing the press release. He said, I don't believe in God yet, but I believe in hell. At least he knows where he's going. Okay. So, Al-Ulama rahimahullah asked the question, and that was raised a long time ago. Al-Ulama said, Allah might expose individual to part of the punishment of the grave. Some individual. Or part of what happened in the grave to certain people. But to expose completely, no. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah have kept this hidden from us for our own goodness. And I can guarantee you, if you see what's happening to the grave where people are buried, you cannot sleep, you cannot walk, because everywhere in this earth, there is people buried. That's one point. Bet you anything, in this area, you will find a lot of people died and buried, hundreds of years ago. Everywhere. So if you're going to be exposed to this, since Adam alayhi salam, you will never be able to enjoy life in this earth. Anyway, to wrap it up and to say, subhanAllah, when your soul die, the Prophet ﷺ told us, the believer's soul go to Jannah, will meet all his friends and family members who die before him. When the parents missing their child and see their child, they welcome them. So your soul will be in the company of your friends and family. And they will ask, hey, they start asking you about the people that you came. What happened to so-and-so? And what happened to so-and-so? And he starts telling them. ماذا فعل فقلان؟ فيقولون دعوه كان في غم من الدنيا. This person had a hard time. This person, this happened to him. And he starts telling him about all the thing happened. And they missed out. Hey, what happened on earth? What happened, you know? Who get elected? I don't know if you're going to ask who get elected. But, you know, what happened to the world? You will be telling people about what happened behind you. And you will ask about some people, and he will tell you, and he will say, قال فإنه ذهب إلى الهاوية. This person, he dies a kafir, just don't worry about him. ولذلك يقول أبو الدرداء اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أعمل عملا أخزى به عند عبد الله بن رواحة. I don't want to do anything that will shame me in front of Abdullah bin Rawaha, die way before him. So he doesn't want whatever, I don't want to do something, and Abdullah bin Rawaha, when he asks, how is Abu Darda doing? And he says, oh, he's doing this and this, I will be ashamed of this. I want to keep my reputation good. So even in Anbiya, they gathered as Isra al Mi'raj, the Anbiya gather and talk what will happen, Isa, when you're going to return back to the dunya. So there's a conversation between the people after death. So your lot, your soul, will be engaged in social activity, in another word. قال ثابت البناني إن الميت إذا مات احتوشه أهله وأقاربه الذين تقدموه من الموتى فلهم أفرح به وهو أفرح بهم من المسافر إذا قدم أهله. When you die, your soul will be connected with your family member who died. Your parents, your father, your mother, your grandparents, your uncle will be gathered together. And you will be informed when you die about what happened to the people who died, who you, when you die, you left behind. To the extent even some of the ulama said, actually, you will be in a regular base told about what happened to your family. SubhanAllah, and your parents knows about you. Hey, your grandson graduated, your son got married, your daughter got married, she got a children. Your father will be informed. يقول مجاهد, and مجاهد definitely heard this from Abbas, because no way he can get this from any other source. And Ibn al-Qayyim said that's an authentic narration. Ibn Mujahid said that in al-mayyit, the person who passed away will be informed about salah waladi, about how his children became righteous, became good. And في الحديث إن أعمالكم تعرض على أقاربكم وعشائركم من الأموات فإن كانوا خيرا استبشروا وإن كان غير ذلك قال اللهم لا تمتهم حتى تهديهم كما هديتنا. Your friends and family, your family member will be told about your good, your deeds. If it's good, they will be happy. And if it's bad, they will say, Ya Rab, guide them as you guided us. This hadith, there is a debate over it. Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah ended up saying it is acceptable and authentic. But many of the ulama rahimahullah recognize this hadith. And there is another hadith, a little bit much stronger than that, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the person's level in Jannah. He said, why? He said, because your children have prayed for you. طيب. Your soul when you die can meet a soul of a living person. Can the soul of a dead person come to you? Contact a person who's alive. Inshallah, next time when we meet, inshallah, we'll talk about this. I believe I kept you too long, that's right. I can see people not interested anymore to know. Are you guys interested to know? Okay. Quickly. If you mean by this what they call it, مسألة تحضير الأرواح, someone said, hey, I will call the soul and will make some yani ritual and say certain words and can bring the soul and the soul talk. And he said, oh son, blah, blah, blah. This is all scam. Usually they scam the people. They know a little bit about background about you. So they make all this, they do their homework about you. So they tell you stuff and you think, oh, my parents came and they talked to me. You see some of these, you know, done by, you know, people claim that they're spiritual or whatever. Sometimes they use jinn, they use the qareen of your father who passed away, the qareen of your sister who passed away, and they bring that jinn from the qareen to speak. So these are magicians. But other than that, can you? The only way you can connect with a dead person is through sleep, while you sleep, in your dreams. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah talked extensively about this in his book Al-Ruh, and he mentioned so many of you know, evidence and to support his idea that it is possible. And one of the things is that he used what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said.
Ibn Abbas said, I was told that the souls of the believers, of those who passed away and those who sleep, meet each other. So when you sleep, your soul departs from your body. And when it departs from your body, it could meet the soul of your parents, your friends, someone from the past, a scholar, and a conversation will take place. And they talk to each other. Or no talk, you just see the person. So that's an actual, you actually have seen the soul of this person who passed away. Abdullah ibn Mubarak said he saw, you know, he was seen in a dream by one of his friends, Sakhr ibn Rashid. Then he told him, what happened to you? He said, I'm good, I'm in a good place. In Jannah? He said, yes, in Jannah. He said, what about Sufyan al-Thawri? Is he with you? He said, no. Sufyan al-Thawri is way higher than me. I see him sometimes. He's in a very high level in Jannah. He is with مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصَّدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ. Sa'id ibn Musayyib, he met Abdullah ibn Salam, who was a companion. And Salman, he said, Sa'id ibn Musayyib said, I saw Abdullah ibn Salam and Salman al-Farisi, they met each other, and he was there. So one of them said to the other, if I die first, look for me in your dream. Look at the Sahaba, understand this concept, Ibn al-Qayyim said. He said, look for me in your dream. We will meet each other in dream. Before you die and you meet me in Jannah, inshallah. Then he said, Samson was surprised, are the soul of the people who sleep and the people who are dead meet? They said, yes. They said, yes. He said, one of them died first. And the other one said, I saw him in my dream. And I said to him, how are you doing? He said, excellent. He said, what should I do to prepare myself for this day? He said, have tawakkul ala Allah. Wa abshir falam ara mithl al-tawakkul. Have trust in Allah, nothing like tawakkul. Al-Abbas, he said, I saw Umar in my dream. After 1 year, and Umar was wiping his sweat, and he said, ya Umar, what happened? 1 year. He said, I just now finished. I only passed because my Lord is forgiven, merciful. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, his son Abdullah, saw him in his dream after he died in a very beautiful garden, and he gave him an apple. And he said, I told my father, Father, this is looks like Allah reward you for all the good deeds which you have done. What's the best one? What's the one that benefit you the most in your place? Then Abdul Aziz said, son, nothing benefited me like astaghfirullah, like al-istighfar. قَالَ مَا نَفَعَنِي مِثْلُ الْاِسْتِغْفَارِ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins and make the journey of our souls a journey of peace, and make us among those who will be gathered in Jannat al-Na'im with those who we love. And the souls stay like this until Allah resurrect the bodies from the grave and send the soul again to the body. And that's the third world, which is the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واعف عنا وأكرم نزلنا. اللهم ارحم أرواحنا وبارك لنا في حياتنا وفي مماتنا. نعوذ بك من عذاب القبر وعذاب النار وفتنة الحياة وفتنة الممات وفتنة المسيح الدجال. اللهم إنا نسألك يا حي يا قيوم أن تمتعنا متاعا حسنا إلى أن نلقاك وأنت راض عنا. وصلي اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وجزاكم الله خيرا. قوموا للصلاة إن شاء الله.